Bill, was there any fear involved here with you when you saw this object?
No, shock. Shock. I mean, I think I started to tell you, and I don't think I quite finished what I was saying. At the point that it was closest to me, which would have been basically perpendicular, and I measured the distance to the street light. I have lasers in my business, so I have lasers that'll measure it down to, you know, an eighth of an inch at 100 feet.
Right.
This thing was about 150 feet away from me. I tried to shout out my friend's voice, who was 15 feet through a screen door and an old wooden door. I was standing on his porch, you know, three steps up. And the first time I went to shout out, you know, it was kind of a whimperish shout, you know, because I was a little, like, you know, freaked out.
You're in shock, yeah.
I really was in shock. And again, I don't know if it's a physiological effect, because I don't think I've ever been that scared. I've had crackheads play Russian roulette with me when I got jumped when I was 14. And even then, I don't think it was the same kind of shock that this was. And I tried to shout his name, Tommy, you know, the first time. It didn't really come out that much. So I took a deep breath, and I shouted Tommy again. And again, like, no sound came out. And then I took a really deep breath, and I'm a big guy, you know. I'm a big boy. And I could feel my lungs contract. I think Ricardo Tristan, the MUFON guy, I think he's the only guy I ever told him, and I asked him not to put it in the report. And I actually don't know if it's in that not the report that I have, but they have their own, you know, notes. And no sound came out on the third try, and I could feel my voice box vibrating. And that was when it was closest to me. It was perpendicular. It was 9 degrees.
Yeah.
And the bottom right-hand half of it, I don't know if you're on the webpage or not, and you can see what I'm talking about. But the bottom, the whole right side of the front leading edge of the craft was illuminated, the bottom right side and sort of the top right side, leading edge of this was illuminated by the streetlights that were below it. And that was the point when I realized that this was not a B-2. This is not, and I mean, I knew it wasn't a B-2, and I now knew it wasn't a Herring glider. And then it was just like, oh my God, you know, literally. And again, you have to understand that people from Southie, you know, we don't get flustered by stuff like this, and we don't really talk about stuff like this, and it's not, you know, we're tough city kids, you know what I mean? So this kind of thing is not, whatever, it's not part of our programming, so to speak, okay? We're not prepared for stuff like this. This stuff happens out in, you know, farms and alien abductions and all that stuff, you know.
Not with a city boy, right?
And not in the middle of Norfolk.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, take me out to, you know, Blacksburg and, you know, anal probe me or something. I don't know, but not in Norfolk, you know what I mean?
I mean, did anybody else see this that night?
Well, there's absolutely, yes. There was a corroboration that was sent to Skywatch back when Bill Hamilton had Skywatch International. That was apparently someone had read the report that I had made and made a report, email report to Skywatch International, which basically, and it's all on the website, so you can, it's actually still there, you can check it, and said that they had, he had to have been a military pilot. I'm assuming he's a military pilot because the only way that he could have followed this thing was as if he was in a helicopter. There's just no other way. And I didn't hear a helicopter, so, you know, he must have picked it up over the bay or something.
And you didn't hear anything from this object either? Or did you?
I wouldn't say that it was hearing. It was like a subsonic hum that you felt.
Like a vibration?
Yeah. Like a real, if you've seen the opening part, or if you can remember the opening part to, which Star Wars was it? The fourth one, where it's like, whoa, like that, like really deep, wah, like that. I mean, it sounds stupid, but this is as close as I can get to it. But at the beginning of the Star Wars, I think it was the fourth one that came out, there's a scene where they've got that ship coming in, and it's almost exactly what it sounded like. But the funny thing about it was like you felt it. I felt it. I didn't really necessarily hear it. And I think it's because, and this ties in with the whole loss of voice thing when it was really close to me, was that I think there was some kind of noise cancellation technology. Because all I could hear was or feel was that one, 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 one. And I think I told Ricardo or Tristan at the time that I thought it, at the time it sounded like sort of like 18-wheelers on a highway in the distance. You're like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, as it goes by you.
As, yeah, and again, you know, this could have been the effect of, you know, in the beginning it had sort of a higher pitch and it comes closer and the pitch changes because it's closer to you and then, it, you know, the whole pitch thing, you know.
I had asked you before the break about texture, if it was close enough where you could see,
yeah,
like bolts or something.
You know what? It was absolutely, and keep in mind, I have an engineering, you know, like I said, I dropped out before I actually got my degree to start Warwick Industries, but I was very heavily involved in it, and so, you know, just because I didn't get my degree doesn't mean I didn't know what I was doing. The materials that I was dealing with was called Genera, which is the highest dielectric constant of resistance of any material ever developed except for aerogel.